This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you. We love to spend this time with you. You know we do. We know you know we do. And so we invite you to give us a call here live on Women of Grace Live. And I'm going to give you a number that you can use. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN. We invite you to call us at 833-288-EWTN, which communicates to 833-288-3986. I don't care if you use EWTN or 3986, it's going to get you here. And we invite you to call. Ryan Penny's on the phone today, and he is eager to hear from you. We like to keep him busy there, so please do give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 3986. Also available to you via text messaging. You can text EWTN to 55000. Text EWTN to 55000. Always love to hear from you that way. And we love to hear from you if you are out there in social media land. Jeff Burson, our producer, goes out there because he's our social media maven, and he gathers your questions right there from the chat features that are available to you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. So all you got to do is go out there and take care of all that business, and we get it up here and we can move through our program. Eager to be with you today because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday is a day when Sue Brinkman is with us. As you know, Sue is our staff journalist, and she is also our director of communications for Women of Grace. And we call this day Wacky Wednesday because we talk about all of the difficult, silly things that we see popping up in the culture of the day, where, like, if we used our head, maybe we would figure out that this doesn't make much sense. The fact of the matter is we try to address these kinds of issues and situations so that we can be forewarned and forearmed should they be presented to us. So we welcome your calls on these days to talk about anything that's on your heart and mind, but specifically in this area of trying to seek clarification on the numbers of modalities and ideologies and all kinds of techniques that are being presented to us. 833-288-EWTN is the way that Sue can take your question today. That's 833-288-3986. Always encouraging you to give us a call right here on Women of Grace Live. Want to tell you something else. We are so excited. We're so excited at Women of Grace because we will be heading a week from today to Lafayette, Louisiana, so that we are there for tomorrow, which is our Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar that's going to be held at Our Lady of Fatima Catholic Church there in Lafayette. Our presenter is Kathleen Beckman. It is, what I want to say, it is the precursor, if you will, to the retreat that begins the next day on the Friday, which is June 21st. And this beautiful, beautiful enrichment seminar is going to just give you all of the tools that you need to discover why it is, how it is, and how to wield the power that we as women have against evil. The theme for the Benedicta in Leadership Enrichment Seminar is Woman, God's Special Weapon Against Evil, and Kathleen Beckman is going to be presenting that webinar for us. It starts on Thursday, June the 20th at 9 a.m., and it continues until mid-afternoon on Friday, right around 3 o'clock-ish, and then our retreat begins that evening, and we certainly want for you to come to our retreat. I know you are going to be enriched by it. I know it is going to be a very powerful moment for you in your spiritual life and in your relationship, obviously, with our Lord Jesus Christ. The theme for the retreat is Embracing the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Speaker, and Mary and the Holy Spirit. I'm moving on to the speakers already. Embracing the Holy Duet, Mary and the Holy Spirit, And it's going to be beautiful. We're going to be talking about this dynamic duo, this holy duet, the way in which Our Lady and the Holy Spirit want to incorporate us into God's plan for the salvation of this moment in history, and why it is that He wants to use us, and the beautiful gifts that we have so that we can be these instruments of God in this our our day and time. We've got a lineup of great speakers. Kathleen Beckman is staying on for that. I'm going to be presenting. Father Chris Decker is going to be presenting. Thomas K. Sullivan is going to be presenting. And my husband, Jack Williams, is going to be presenting too. We are so eager to be with you in Lafayette, Louisiana. You can get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. You can register right online. The schedules are posted for you. You can see the talk titles. And we just want you to come on out. We certainly do. It's not a far drive from anywhere in Louisiana. And it's not a far drive from Texas. So, you know, just jump into your pickup, jump into your SUV, jump into your car, grab a plane. I don't care. Just come and join us in Lafayette, Louisiana next week. Now, you can come to the Benedicta Leadership Enrichment Seminar alone, or you can incorporate it into the retreat. You can come to the retreat without coming to the Benedicta. It's an a la carte kind of a thing, but we like to have you with us for as much time as you possibly can be with us, because we want for you to be empowered by the Holy Spirit through the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady, and to see who you truly are at this moment in the history of man. And I want to tell you, it is one glorious thing to see. So we invite you to be with us there. I like to say, get under the spot where the glory pours out, because, you know, we don't want to miss the blessings that God has in mind for us. And if we don't show up, we don't get the blessings. It's that simple. So show up, and God, who cannot be outdone in generosity, is going to bestow upon you every spiritual blessing in the heaven. The retreat begins on Friday evening, June 21st at 5 o'clock p.m. It opens with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Bishop of Lafayette is going to be the main celebrant. Father Michael Russo and Father Chris Decker will be con-celebrating. We know that's going to be a beautiful Mass. And everything else is going to flow forth from that. So we certainly do invite you to join us there. Again, that's womenofgrace.com. All of the info there. You know, please come. If the Holy Spirit is prompting you right now, you know, don't deny the Holy Spirit. Say yes to that. Give in. Give fiat. See what God will do through your yes. Well, as I mentioned to you, Sue Brinkman is with us. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things, inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love to have this holy conversation with you. We've got just about a minute before we go to the break, so I'm going to hold Sue until after the break. Once again, inviting you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, and to see everything that's going on. By the way, I want to mention to you, you know, there in Lafayette, Louisiana, you know, Women of Grace Foundational Study is planted strongly. Also, our Young Women of Grace Study is planted there. And we are having on that Saturday a very special opportunity for our Young Women of Grace. So not only can mom be enriched by what God is speaking through our speakers to their hearts and being encouraged and empowered, but so can our Young Women of Grace. And this Young Women of Grace opportunity is just beautiful. Sue Brinkman is the one who has given us our study guide. She took the mother's study guide, or if you will, the women's study guide, and she's put it into a format that is very accessible for our young women. And we've got all kinds of activities that correlate to that that some of our regional coordinators who were teachers put together. And this is going to be a power-packed day for our young ladies. So moms, bring your daughters, grandmas, bring your granddaughters, aunties, bring your nieces with you. Teachers, bring your students. It's going to be beautiful. And all of that information, once again, available for you out there at womenofgrace.com. That's womenofgrace.com. Going to that break, coming back, Sue Brinkman's going to be with us. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live, and we are so happy to be with you. And we're going to give you a number that you can use to join us here live on Women of Grace Live. Our guest today is Sue Brinkman. She is our regular guest on Wednesdays as we talk about all kinds of wacky things going on. We've kind of nicknamed this day Wacky Wednesdays, and we invite you to give us a call about any questions that you have regarding things that you're seeing in your midst. Here's the number to use toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Ryan Penny on the phones. We've got Jeff Burson behind the seat producing the show, and we're eager to get to the phone lines. Hey, Sue, how are you?
Well, I'm peachy keen today.
I love it.
See what you started? Now I'm going to have all these different things to say when you ask me that question. And then your daughters are going to say, oh, no, Mom, Sue's worse than you.
Yeah, I had shared with Sue that my daughters tease me sometimes because, you know, I'll use these phrases that I don't know where they come from, my youth, I guess. You know, peachy keen, okie dokie, you know, golly gee. Mom, you don't say those things on the air, do you? Oh, yes. Yes, I do. Oh, Mom, no, you can't. So I shared that with Sue.
Yeah, and, I know. I didn't forget it.
And I really do appreciate you joining me in these little, you know, what would we call them, colloquialisms or throwbacks. I'll bet you a lot of you out there used to say those things, too. I don't know if you still do. But so we've got tons of questions here that are coming up, and one that's a carryover from last week that I really want to get to. But we've got Amy there in Palm Harbor, Florida, and she's with us via the EWTN app, and she's a first-time caller. I don't have a bell in here, but I'm going to get one. I'm going to bring it with me so I can ring a bell for our first-time caller. So I'm ringing it this way. Ding, 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 Amy. How are you, Amy?
Hi, Jeanette. I'm good. How are you, my friend?
Well, I am doing very well. Is this my Amy?
It's your Amy. Hi.
Oh, well, I got to tell everybody. So this beautiful lady is my neighbor. She lives across the street from me in Palm Harbor, Florida. And we just love Amy and Corey and Hannah and Michael. And Amy and her family are moving. They're moving back to Des Moines, Iowa. And our hearts are breaking, but we're very, very happy for them. So you have a question for us, Amy, right?
Well, I was calling to find out if I could ask your wonderful, lovely listeners to send a prayer up for us.
Oh, absolutely. You want to sell your house, right?
We want to sell our house. We just want this to be a smooth, happy, fast transition as much as possible and just get everything set in motion. And we've just been really praying to God and asking for St. Joseph to help us in the sale of this house and get the right person in the right place at the right time.
Oh, well, we're happy to pray for that. And I'm going to see you later because I'm flying home from Birmingham today. So I'm going to be there in the afternoon. Yeah, we're going to be there before I go to Lafayette. So anyway, that's just a little inside baseball, friends, because I'm having a chit-chat here with my lady friend. So, Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and we lift up Amy and Corey and the children. Father God, you have called them back to Iowa. You have, and you've made that abundantly clear in so very many ways. And we would ask now that as this home has been placed on the market, that you would find exactly the right family to come and occupy it. I know that Amy and Corey and the children leave behind just a beautiful legacy in that home. I know that that home has been filled with prayer, Lord. And I know that wonderful things with regard to the life of faith has been experienced there. And so this home will be a warm cocoon of grace for whoever moves into it. And we would just ask that you would select the very right family and that they would come soon, that any of the provisions that you're making for Amy and Corey and children in Des Moines, Iowa would go smoothly, that the packing and the moving, the transitioning for the children to schools and Corey into this new position, all of these things, Lord God, would be handled by you. Because we know that you have a perfect plan for this family. And we know that we can rely on you and put our trust in you and put our faith in you. We do ask for your intercession, St. Joseph, because, well, you're just so good to us. And you are such a beautiful provider and protector. You are such a beautiful leader. And we know that through your paternal gift that you will work with the Harrimans, with God's desire for all things to happen so that the sale of this home goes quickly and smoothly. And we know that you're already out there searching out precisely the right property for them in Des Moines. They might have found it by now. But we do pray for that. And we ask also, too, that under your title, Terror of Demons, that any kind of thwarting effort of the evil one, any kind of strategy that he would mount to prevent this from going well, would be dismantled by you. And we pray this prayer, Father God, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeanette. God bless you. God. That was awesome.
God bless you, Amy. I love you very much, and I'll see you soon.
I love you. Safe travel. Talk
okay.
to you later.
Thanks. God bless you. Bye-bye. You know, Sue, this is a lovely, lovely family, and we've enjoyed having them as neighbors for the years that they've been with us, and I wish them all of the best in Des Moines. I did tell Amy she has to have a room prepared for Jack and myself because we'll be coming to visit.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. It's always sad, though, when a longtime neighbor moves away. It's like kind of almost like a part of your family moves away.
It's true.
Because you get so close to them.
Yeah, you really do. And I've watched the children grow, you know. They came as little tykes and here they are, you know, high school and middle school and and Corey and Amy are just delightful people. Just absolutely delightful people. We've got Beth with us and she is in Norwalk, Ohio. She's listening to us via Annunciation Radio and she too is a first time caller. Here we go. Ding, 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 ding. How are you, Bev?
I'm fine, Jeanette. How are you?
Very
thank
well.
Thank you so much for all you do.
Oh, well, thank you so very much for listening.
I have a question. My husband and I were on a prayer team, a healing prayer team, and we were praying Sunday.
Uh-huh.
We're in the car, and his phone is ringing, so hang on just a minute.
Okay, it's all right. I get it. Happens to all of us.
Can you hear us all right, though?
Sure okay. can.
We were asked, our prayer group was asked to be on a healing prayer team, so we have done this quite often. And we prayed for a woman on Sunday at this healing mass, and she, I've seen her before, and I had prayed with her before, but her information she gave me was this. She has a lot of physical and emotional and spiritual problems. And so as we talked, she said, she mentioned that she was doing acupuncture and also that she does yoga. So I told her, I said, well, we will be happy to pray with you. And I said, but I would like for you to get some good information, some good Catholic information on yoga and also on acupuncture. And I mentioned your program, and I mentioned Sue Brinkman and her website. She got very agitated, and she said, don't talk about my yoga. It's helping me so much. You know, and she was just very agitated about that.
And Sue, we agitate people.
I know.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. And I just said, well, just calm down. I said, we're going to pray with you. And but I said, please take, you know, this counsel and at least look into it. I said, what you're looking for is wholeness and for Christ to heal you, you know. So anyway, so I wondered if I was wrong or right in my approach. And I you know, didn't mean to upset her, but I really, the red flags that went up when she was talking about that, I felt were just almost necessary for me to mention these things to her. So I just would like your input and opinion about what happened there.
Well, I'm going to let Sue handle this, but I do want to say it could very well be that her emotional and spiritual problems are connected to the way in which she's trying to resolve her emotional and spiritual problems. But you go for it, Beth. Go for it, Sue.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I just want to ask you, Bev, now, were you praying with her over, with the Unbound model?
No, I wasn't. We were just praying for healing. They had just received the sacrament of the anointing of the sick and everyone who had had, and then we had prayer teams lined up so that people could come and get extra prayer. So we were just really trying to listen to the Holy Spirit and pray.
Okay, so you listened to the Holy Spirit very well, Bev. You absolutely did, because you had to bring that
up. Thank you.
There was really no, you really had no choice there. To be the most charitable possible to that woman was to do what you did and to mention about the yoga. And you did it very gently. You said, you know, go in and look up this information. Her very reaction, that vitriolic reaction that she got, is really, to me, one of the first red flags that that person is probably already in bondage.
Yes.
And doesn't even realize it, that they have
and
now become bonded.
She was apparently... Yeah, she was obviously in bondage. You could see it, you know. You could tell it. It was very apparent, you know. But thank you, and I'll let you talk.
So what this is going to take at this point now, because you see that how her reaction is. She's being convicted by the Holy Spirit, and she's resisting this. So what's going to happen now is that you and your husband are going to need to pray for her just yourselves. Pray for this woman. Pray for the grace to open up to what needs to be told. And then hopefully she will come back, and you'll begin to pray with her again. Do you think there's a possibility in that?
Or do you think this is okay? She has come. I do think there is a possibility there. Yes, I do.
Yeah, because see, you planted the little seed now. Now you got to pray that the Lord will now allow that seed to grow, and it's going to try to teach this woman in her mind. Okay, there could be something wrong. Maybe I need to do something about this. Maybe this is the cause. He's going to be working on her in ways that we don't know right now. And so that's why I'm saying just support this whole process right now by prayer, and wait till she comes back and see where she's at then. And then once again, you're going to have to keep listening to the Holy Spirit. This can take a while to break people free of yoga. They really resisted at first. And that's because there's a spirit in there that's you know, telling them don't let go. You need me, you know. Your body's going to fall apart without me.
And, you know, Bev, the fact that you said you could see it, that's very true, because sometimes when people are in bondage, that spirit will, you know, sort of manifest itself through their eyes or through some kind of body movement. And, you know, as Sue's saying, this process can be hard. And don't be surprised if it gets worse before it gets better. You know, I know that you don't have everyday action with this woman. But so oftentimes what happens is the spirit starts to really fight hard interiorly. When those prayers are going up, those intercessory prayers are going up, they're effective. And oftentimes we'll see in whether it's yoga or anything else, right? So you'll see a resistance happening, within the context of family life or whatever, when we're praying very hard for the release of an individual from some kind of lifestyle or some kind of activity that they're involved in, or from some of the various kinds of emotional realities that they deal with. So that's always a good sign, because it shows that the prayer is working because the evil one is fighting.
Thank you. Could you address acupuncture too? Is there something that's not healthy spiritually with acupuncture?
Oh, yeah. Acupuncture is based on traditional Chinese medicine, which is a pantheistic belief system that's not compatible with Christianity. They believe in an energy force, qi or ki, and that's what they're trying to balance, that energy force, according to these, to yin and yang, which are opposing energies. They're trying to balance these oppositions. This is their god, this energy that they're trying to manipulate through needles. They do it in other ways too, just by pressure. But acupuncture can be another source of allowing non-Christian belief systems to get mixed up into your own belief systems. It is introducing, I think, false gods to a person. You're turning to, you want to find your health again. You want to regain your health by relying on these gods. And these are not our gods. We rely on Jesus Christ. He's our God. He's our healer. And he will direct us to the places we need to go for healing. So acupuncture has gotten, really, really big out there. It's everywhere. And people need to be very careful about it, because it's the traditional Chinese medicine that is not based in Christianity or in Christian belief.
Yeah. And I want to just to add on to this, I think that this might be helpful. You used a really good word there, Sue. You used the word manipulate. And these are occultic practices, O-C-C-U-L-T-I-C. And occultic means hidden. It's a hidden power. And so what these individuals attempt to do, and the definition of occultism, is to in some way manipulate the powers of the universe so as to lay them at one's disposal. So with all of these techniques, whether it's yoga, whether it's acupuncture, whether it's Tai Chi, whether it's any of those things, you could even take it into seances and, channeling and all of those things, clairvoyance. You can take it into all of those aspects. the idea here is that this life force energy, which is the God, as Sue described it, can be manipulated if we do certain things. And then if we can manipulate that power, we can make that power do certain things. So with acupuncture, it's a manipulation. We use these needles, and that's going to balance this life force energy, and we're going to make you well because we're going to manipulate this life force energy. With yoga, it's the very same thing. I'm going to go into, and there's all kinds of yoga, but the one that's popularized here in North America and in many places is Hatha yoga, which is, you know, the one that uses postures. And we say, well, that's exercise. It is not exercise. It's putting your body into the form of Hindu God so as to manipulate the power of that God to get what it is that you want. And what is the end result of what you want in yoga? You want enlightenment. You want to reach this moment of recognition of your own divinity, and that this life force energy that pervades the universe pervades you. So therefore you are God, and you've just got to get there, and you manipulate and you get there through these actions. So once you kind of get that down, it's pretty easy to begin to evaluate if something's being presented to you based on what outcome you hope to achieve.
And one other thing too, Bev, that one of the big arguments is that, well, it works. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel better. You know, science has been studying that from a neuroscientific point of view, and they have found that really what happens is that when you puncture the skin with a needle, it releases endorphins, which are part of the body's natural pain control system. It has nothing to do with meridians and chi.
That's
because
right.
Chi doesn't exist according to science. So whatever help they're getting is not coming from the acupuncture. It's coming from these pain control systems in the body.
There you go. Yeah. So thank you very much for your call, Bev. You allowed us to give some really good information there. And, you know, just the opposite. We don't want to manipulate God. We want to surrender to God and be his instrument, not the other way around. We're going to be right back. More with Sue Brinkman on the other side of the break. It's Wacky Wednesday here on Women of Grace Live. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams, as you just heard, and I'm here with Sue Brinkman. It is Wednesday. It's a Wacky Wednesday. Sue is our journalist for Women of Grace, also our communications director. In addition to that, she manages the New Age blog that is on our website, and we really want to recommend that you get out there. I mean, your questions can come to Sue via our website. She will answer them. We have, you know, well over 1,000 responses there for you on a variety of issues. There's a search feature on that New Age blog. We want you to get out there and to take a look at it. We do these programs on Wednesday because there are so many things going on in our culture of the day today that are so anti-Christian. And by anti-Christian, I mean anti-against Jesus, anti-against his church, anti-against the revealed truth of sacred scripture. And we want to be able to make our way through because they're marketed so well and they're so sleek. And air quotes, everybody's doing it. That doesn't make it right, and it certainly doesn't make it moral. Sue, we've got Kimberly with us. She's in Palm City, Florida. Prince of Peace Catholic Radio is the way she is with us. First time caller, and again, the bell. Ding, 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 ding. Hi, Kimberly. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for calling. So what is your question, sweetie?
Okay, well, it's a follow-up what the last person called about. I'm meeting with a friend. She's Baptist in her religion, and she is heading up a holy yoga global thing, and I know she does a lot at her church, and she's really good friends with the pastor at that church, and I'm having lunch with her tomorrow, so I realize I'm not going to like hit her over the head but and say, I'm not sure you're doing what you think you're doing, because it says holy yoga global facilitating a workshop worship experience with the Lord through the modality of yoga. And I know that's like wrong on so many levels. I just don't have the resources so I can understand it better and what would be maybe a better way to go about I understand the spiritual health, but the exercise health, because it it makes me cringe knowing that she's doing this, and she totally believes she's doing it from God, and I need help.
You're a good friend, Kimberly. You're a very yes. good friend.
Absolutely. Kimberly, I'll tell you what, the fact that they're Baptist, they believe so wholeheartedly in literal translations of Scripture. So I think what you should do is perhaps say, you know, I was reading Deuteronomy 12:31, and, you know, when I was thinking about, you know, the practice of yoga and Christianizing this yoga, and you're like, I just can't wrap my head around this. You know, how do you reconcile Christian yoga with the Lord saying, I don't want you to worship me the way the pagans do? I'm just not able to figure that out. So what you might want to do tonight mm-hmm. is read that in Scripture and come at them with that okay. approach. You know, could you help me? I mean, I can't wrap my head around this. He's telling us not to do this. And if you seem like you're getting somewhere with them, you know, then he can throw out to them that Christian yoga is syncretism. Okay, and syncretism is trying to...
What's that?
It's called holy yoga, or Christian yoga is
yeah.
is an example of syncretism. S-Y-N-C-R-E-T-I-S-M, syncretism. And that is an attempt to reconcile or merge opposing philosophies. It is a hallmark of the New Age movement. They love to try mm-hmm. to do that, to put them all together there, because they want to come up with this one world religion. That's a major goal of the New Age movement. So you might want to mention that to them. I find Christian yoga to be even worse in a way than just people who do it just for exercise, because now they are making it spiritual. The other folks are saying, no, it's not
exactly.
spiritual.
Most people doing yoga don't have any spiritual anything. So everybody that's doing this Christian yoga thinks God's doing this with me. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah. And a lot of the Christian yoga, in particular, Brooke Boone, who is the one who came up with holy yoga, totally botches both Christian scripture and Hindu teachings in her book. Theologians have looked at this. We have a blog out on our website that gives you all this information and links to the Christian Research Institute, Elliot Miller, who comes up with this. If you wanted to read it, just go ahead out to newage.womenofgrace.com, and you will scroll all the way down to yoga and look up yoga is syncretism, and it will tell you all about how this Brooke Boone just messes everything up. She doesn't understand Christianity and she doesn't understand Hinduism. So what they're really practicing there is a botched version of both, is really what's happening. You can really get into it if you want to. It just depends on if they're going to give you the opening or not. You know, like you said, you don't want to bash them over the head. But I think once you get to them with that scripture, I would start with that, with Deuteronomy 12:31, and say, you know, how do I reconcile that? Because you really can't just baptize things. If you could just baptize something like a yoga, why can't you just baptize tarot cards and make them Christian? You know, you got to draw a line somewhere. you just can't be doing that and thinking that you're going to be able to put a Band-Aid on everything and make it Christian. It doesn't work that way.
No.
So, yeah.
And just a thought. I mean, it's just like, you know, you can't. Hinduism talks about life force energy. You can't say, oh, well, that's the Holy Spirit. No, it isn't the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person. Life force energy isn't. So a lot of people try to make it right by just renaming things. And renaming things is just renaming things. It's just being wrong about what you're naming. So, you know, it is very problematic. And the whole attempt to make this Christian, it's an impossibility. It reminds me, Sue, in sacred scripture, you know, where God says, you know, he's sending the Israelites off, and he says, you're going to come into these foreign lands, but you are not to do what the people in those lands do. You are not to fall. You are not to worship their gods. Well, in yoga, that's exactly what is going on. There's a spiritual reality to that, and you cannot separated from that spiritual reality. And besides, Sue, you've got information on that blog that says that, you know, those stretches are not nearly as effective as regular physical exercise stretches are. So there's really no need to ever do yoga.
There isn't. And having been an instructor for many years, I can tell you that, you know, good stretches are a dime a dozen. You don't need yoga for that. You absolutely don't need it.
Well, I guess the follow-up question is, you know, is there, you know, like she's in, hooked up to this Holy Yoga Global. Is there like a true Christian or Catholic, you know, exercise besides, you know, we're like, I know she's one who wants to have good health and good, you know, spirit and everything. So she'd be like, well, what then am I supposed to do if I'm not supposed to do this? You know, just reach and touch my toes. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, I know it's more than that, but is there something else that she could follow that wouldn't be, you know, blasphemy to Christ, you know?
Well, right. She could just become an instructor, like the rest of us had to do, and go through the whole, you know, confirmation process and the licensing and all that kind of stuff. She could just be doing that, and then she would be able to, mm-hmm. you know, introduce all kinds of good exercises to people, and people of all ages, you know, seniors. You could be doing work with seniors in your parish. You don't have to be doing yoga to be offering physical fitness to people.
And, you know, and I wanted to say this, you know, everything doesn't have to be, let me just put, this is going to sound poor, but I don't mean it to. Everything doesn't have to be, you know, spiritually oriented. For example, you know, vegetables are good for you because God made vegetables and he made them good, and they're good for us to eat because they bring us health. But we don't have Christian vegetables, you know. So exercise is good for us because God gave us a body and we are called to be good stewards of our body. And one way we do that is to keep it well conditioned. So it doesn't have to be spiritually oriented to be good. What we don't want it to be is spiritually oriented and using it in a way that compromises our belief system and can get us into a type of bondage. Yoga is the exorcists say that yoga is the spirit of yoga is one of the hardest spirits to exorcise, to get out of a person. And so, you know, if she's a woman who loves her faith, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, she could just begin, you know, a regular physical exercise program with prayer, you know, just in offering up the labor of it all for the glory and honor of God. In our faith, we would offer it as intercession for somebody because we get redemptive suffering, and exercise can be a suffering of sorts. So, you know, I think people are well-intended, but again, I think we've got some wacky ideas that work in our heads with regard to all of this.
That's right. That's right. Now, there's a good one out there that she can do if you want to suggest something, and that's eccentrics, E-S-S-E-N-T-R-I-C-S. That is yoga free. And again, that's on our blog. You can read about it first if you'd like to do that to prepare before tomorrow. Just look up eccentrics. It's on there, and that is just traditional stretching, but it's very, very good. It's very good.
And there's nothing the matter with traditional things. We go for a whole lot of glitz and fads today. And, you know, Paul talks about that in 2 Timothy, you know. They'll wander off to fables, you know. Why? Because it's enticing. And yoga, I think, is one of the really big ones here. So, well, Kimberly, thank you for your call, sweetheart. We'll be praying for you. We'll be offering up some prayers for you and for your meeting tomorrow, okay?
I appreciate it, ladies. Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. Going to give you that number again. So we've got a Facebook question that we certainly do want to take. Friends, here's the number toll-free for you in North America, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. Sue posted us last week, as a matter of fact, and we couldn't get to it, and I'm really eager to have you talk about this. She says, could you please speak about Enneagrams of personality? So the Enneagram and personality typing and all of these things that, again, people are using, what they think is a benefit. What do you say?
Yeah. The Enneagram is a personality typing system. It is very new age. This particular typing system does have occult origins. It comes from the Greek word ennea, which means nine, and gramma, which means line drawing. And in case anyone doesn't know what it is, an enneagram is a big circle surrounding a nine-pointed star. And there's nine human personality types around there, and then all these lines connecting different things. And that's supposed to represent patterns, which point to the way that you're living, your health, your neurosis, disintegration. All this stuff is all in there, and you're supposed to be able to read it from this circular, from this circle. Now, the Enneagram actually came from the Sufi religion, and it was introduced by an Armenian occultist named George Gurdjieff, who lived in Russia He attended actually the seminary as a boy, and he ended up leaving to pursue the occult. And he was deeply involved in the occult for the rest of his life. And it was during his travels throughout mostly Central Asia that he met up with Sufis, which are Muslim mystics, and they were the ones who taught him the Enneagram. And he passed this down now to his students, and one of them was Oscar Icazo, and he was a Chilean occultist. And he's the one who adapted the Enneagram to its present-day use. So it has very, very, very occult origins in it. It's also very unscientific. If you read Father Mitch Pacwa's book, Catholics in the New Age, he just gives a thorough discussion there, very comprehensive look at the Enneagram, where it comes from, how it is not regulated at all. You could go to one place to have your Enneagram done, and they might tell you, okay, you're a number nine, right? You're a peacemaker, you're number nine. But you could go to a place down the street and find out, oh no, you're a loyalist, you're a number six. There's no regularity to it. There's no standards in order to become a teacher in it. Anybody wants to can just decide they want to be a teacher. The Enneagram is just terribly, it's just junk science from beginning to end. However, people are using it in some cases for spiritual direction. And Jesus Christ, the bearer of the water of life, which was a pontifical document on the New Age, specifically warns about that. And it says the Enneagram, which when used as a means of spiritual growth, introduces an ambiguity in the doctrine and the life of the Christian faith. It is not to be used for any spiritual purposes at all. It shouldn't be used for anything, but it is specifically not to be used for that. So the Enneagram is like I said, junk science. Just stay away from it. There's nothing to the Enneagram.
Well, thank you. That was a very thorough answer to the question and an important one, you know. And I think lots of us were introduced to the Enneagram and sometimes in, you know, very, you know, orthodox settings. But as you say, it has occultic background. And it always defied my understanding how it was that this infinite God only created 9 personality types. I could never figure that one out. And I've known a whole lot of people and none of them fit into any of those 9 types, you know. Anyway, we've got Michelle with us. She's in North Jackson, Ohio, Sirius XM 130. First time caller. Ding, 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 ding. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I received I believe it to be Tibetan singing bowl as a gift. And of course, I've listened to you long enough to know that I'm not going to use it, and I'm not interested in it. It has symbols all over it on the outside and inside. I have it. I wrapped it back up and put it in my basement. I'd like to know how to discard of it or get what to do with it.
Okay, you could probably just throw it out. I mean, unless it's been made and anybody's put any kind of blessing, and I say that in air quotes, on it, then, of course, you would have to destroy it. But is it metal?
Yes.
Is it metal or ceramic?
It's metal.
A metal. Okay, yeah, you would have to destroy it in some way if it was. But if I were you, I would just throw it out because chances are it doesn't have anything like that on it, especially if it was something that was gifted to you. Now, was this person from Tibet who gave it to you?
No.
Yeah, because they're becoming very popular around here. They're supposedly the sound that the bowls make when you tap on them is supposedly has healing benefits. And in particular, they say deep tissue healing, pain management, sleep enhancement, increased energy. Ask me how much science is behind that, and I will tell you, none. It's never been proven to do anything. But, you know, they claim that if you use this bowl in conjunction with guided imagery meditation, that it's going to lead you through your 7 chakras on pathways to opening yourself up to more prosperity and abundance and that sort of thing. So it's really used for very New Age and occultish type things, and I would not want to have that in my house. I would definitely get rid of it. I would just throw it out.
Yeah. You could do that, or you can bury it too, Michelle.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just...
Yeah, if you don't want to take a chance, you can just bury it. Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Sprinkle the top of the...
Is that okay to bury it, though, on my property?
Yeah, just sprinkle it with holy water.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Bury it, sprinkle it, throw some blessed salt at it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thanks, Michelle. You know, Sue, I mean, really and truly, these are the things that we're faced with today because people don't know. They don't, and they think, oh, isn't this has such a nice thought, you know, and it's, they don't know. And so a lot of the things that we can receive as gifts are, you know, we've got to be aware. We've got to be alert. We've got Christine with us. She's in Cleveland, Ohio, Sirius XM 130. She, too, is a first-time caller. Good morning, Christine. Ding, ding, ding.
Good morning. So glad to be able to call in.
Well, we're happy to have you.
Well, thank you. I was calling in regards to the young woman that was meeting with her friend tomorrow. I hope she's still listening because I don't know if she's ever heard of Soul Core, and that is where you pray the rosary and you meditate on that as a form of exercise as opposed to yoga.
Sue?
And
Soul Core. Soul Core is that's a stretching program. It's mostly core exercises. I know a lot of people will look at Soul Core and they say, oh, that looks like yoga. But you know what? A lot of the poses in there, they are isometric equivalents. So that is not yoga. I have personally spoken with both of the founders of that on several occasions, and there is no yoga at all associated with Soul Core. The only reason I didn't recommend it to the caller was because she said that the person was Baptist. So they would probably not be praying the rosary. That's the only reason I didn't say that. Yeah, and so I just stuck with, you know.
I hope other listeners.
Yeah, Soul Core is very good.
It's amazing. You get a great teacher, and you really, you do get a nice workout.
That's for sure.
You also get a spiritual workout.
Yeah, it's a hard workout. That one gets me sweating. So, you know, if you're going to do Soul Core, get prepared to sweat is what I say. It's a tough workout.
Well,
core.
I've got to find a Soul Core teacher then. I got to get it signed up.
Well, I just used, you can just buy the DVDs, and that's what I use. And,
really?
And it's hard. It's a very hard, but the meditations are beautiful. They're very beautiful, and nothing in there is yoga.
No, we had a great teacher at our church that unfortunately, she relocated, but she was amazing, and it was so spiritual. Even non-Catholics came and loved it.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful way to get some exercise and meditate. So I just thought I'd share that with you ladies.
Well, thank you, Christine.
Thank you so much.
You've encouraged me today, I'll tell you that. Thank you, Christine. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. We've got Kathy with us, and I'm afraid she's going to have to be our last caller today because we're coming down to the end here, Sue. She's in New Hampshire, Sirius XM Station 130. Hey, Kathy, what's going on?
Well, I need all the prayers that I can possibly get. I've been trying forever with my daughter. She's a very well-praised yoga instructor in the area. And everybody tells me what a wonderful job she does and how great she is. And I have to tell them, you know, and they think I'm, oh, you must love her yoga. And I say, no, I don't do her yoga. I'm not in her classes. It's against my religion. When they find out that I'm a Catholic, they freak. Like, what do you mean? It's like, so I need prayer for my daughter. She is just absorbed in this. Sorry.
I'm sorry, Kathy.
Oh, yes, I am too.
Oh,
and
I am
just
so sorry.
I'm praying and praying and praying to the Holy Spirit that He will please, Lord, we ask You, we beg You, we plead with You to please open up the heart of this young woman that she might begin to see the error of her ways. Lord, we especially ask You for special protection for her in accordance with her mother's prayers and the intercession of Our Lady. Of course, we ask You, Lord, please, please to keep her safe from all of these beings that she is calling upon in this service and all the people that she's influencing toward yoga. We ask You, Lord, to please, in Your mercy, please send her the lights that she needs. If there's any opening at all in her soul, and just any tiny crack that's an opening, please, Lord, send Your grace in there. We ask You also to give her the grace to cooperate with that grace when it comes in there, that she might respond to You fully, Lord. And we also ask for comfort for her mother. And we also ask You to please build her up from the inside out and let her know how proud You are of her for having said what she needed to say. She's a good mother. She's looking out for the everlasting welfare of her daughter. And we know, Lord, that that means everything to you. And I ask you to give her the strength and give her peace and let her know that she's done the right thing, regardless of how people treat her. Lord, we ask all this in your most holy name and through the intercession of Our Lady, especially the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
Yes. Kathy, I had a little picture. I sensed the Lord saying, I always hear a mother's prayer. And I saw your daughter all bound up in rosaries. So are you praying the rosary for her?
Every day, Charlotte.
Well, there you have it. The Lord is hearing those rosary prayers, sweetheart. You keep praying. We've got to go. God bless you. Bye, all.